We will rally around Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner.
You're a big horse, and you must be ridden every Monday night.
Two-time NFL MVP.
They talk about this, the greatest show on turf, maybe the best offense ever in football.
Super Bowl champion.
Warner to throw. Going deep downfield, adjusting for it is Isaac Bruce. Touchdown, 73 yards.
Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Not just the NFL Hall of Fame. And I wear that as a badge of honor because without pro football, in all its forms and fashions, I'm not here tonight.
Radio analyst for Westwood One Sports.
Touchdown, Caleb Williams.
And I love the way that Caleb Williams played. We know that he's a tremendous playmaker. But one thing that they wanted him to do was, hey, play the game on first and second down. When we need the play to be made, now go be special.
NFL Network analyst.
If it was one of your wide receivers who didn't necessarily go get it, would you be upset in the moment?
I don't think so on that one. I mean, okay. That wasn't one that I thought, oh, that should have been completed. You know, what were you doing, DJ? Like, I didn't think that. I just thought it was close and you know, we just missed.
Okay.
And they were there to make a play. I didn't see it the other way.
All right. So Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce, they wouldn't put you in that position. We understand.
Kurt,
they probably would have been open by 7 yards. So,
that's right.
So I could have missed by 5 yards and we'd still be good.
Kurt Warner with Spiegel and Holmes.
The Bears.
On 670 The Score.
Our segment with Kurt Warner is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals. Available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. Kurt Warner joins us here on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Well, Kurt, every time we think the Bears can't top performance, they tend to top a performance. What was it like for you watching that game play out?
Well, I mean, on TV or on film? On TV, I mean, I just think it was crazy because we've kind of seen the story before, you know, but the way the Packers kind of dominated, and I won't say dominated. I actually thought that the Bears played pretty well offensively in the first half, even though it didn't turn into points. But, I mean, just the way that they jumped out early and had such a huge lead, and then to just – I mean, it is kind of amazing how the Bears so many times have just been able to flip that switch and, you know, when they need it and exactly when they need it and how much time's left that they're able to do what they did. I mean, it was pretty amazing, I think, on both sides. The way that the Bears kind of put it together defensively, they were getting after the Packers. They were winning the line of scrimmage in the second half. And then offensively, you guys know what happened and the different plays that they made and that Caleb made. And then on the other side, the Packers just, they didn't cover anybody in the second half. And offensively, they just all took their turns, you know, messing up here or there. And then obviously the kicker added a little bit to it. I mean, it was like a perfect storm in that second half with all the things that went bad for the Packers, all the things that went right for the Bears. And that's what it takes to make an epic comeback like that.
Kurt, as you watch the tape, what did you see in terms of the Bears' offense in that fourth quarter? Three touchdown drives, 66, 81, and 66. They took a maximum of 2.5 minutes. One was 230, one was 218, one was 108. What did you see on those three drives from Caleb and the Bears' offense?
Well, I think Ben is doing a great job of dialing up different things. You know, almost every play has a motion. I mean, even the run plays that they're kind of simulating pass plays on the other side of that. So even a guy that motions, or you have a receiver or a tight end on one side that wraps to the other side on the snap, it doesn't really even block anybody. He just releases and kind of goes to the flat as if they're going to run a naked bootleg or they're going to run some other type of pass play off of it. But all of that, you know, misdirection and eye candy and stuff is going on every single play. So I think he does a great job with that. You know, when it came to, you know, late in the game, it wasn't a bunch of, you know, dial up a crazy play that they don't expect. It was, let's call some good, solid pass plays and Caleb read it out and make the throws. And I think the beautiful thing about a situation like that is when you're in pass, you know, all the time tight mode, you know, we've talked about it all year with Caleb. Caleb's not going to be perfect right now. He's not perfect in terms of his efficiency, but if you're going to give him three or four opportunities to make a big play, I like the odds. He's going to make some big plays. And that's what you saw in this game. There were some misses that you're like, oh, gosh, we need to have that one. But it doesn't really matter because it's like, okay, first down, okay, second down and 10. Okay, now it's third down and 10. All I need is one of these three plays, and I'll make one of those three for you. And he did that over and over in this game is, you know, he just find a way to make the big throw when they needed it. Of course, everybody's talking about that incredible fourth down play that probably was the difference in whether they could even win or if they were going to lose that game. But he just made so many of those plays, and it was just going back to kind of the basics, and he did a great job of reading it out. I thought this was one of his best games across the board, even though, again, not a lot of points in the first half. The interception, I don't know if they've talked about it there. I think that was a mess up on the outside by Burden, who threw his hand up, and I don't know if he knew what he was doing because he was running back and forth across the formation, and then I don't know if he saw an adjustment and threw his hand up or he wasn't sure what he was supposed to be doing. I think that was supposed to be one of their big in routes that we've talked about. They got down tight in the red zone a couple times, went for it, didn't get it. So that led to not a lot of points early. But I thought Caleb, you know, played a really good football game from, you know, from start to finish. You know, maybe some other pieces that went against him, but I thought he played a really good football game.
You know what we saw in that fourth quarter, Kurt, on those three drives, and that was great stuff right there from Kurt Warner. But we saw him making what seemed like good decision after good decision all the time. Just this year, we would ask you about how does he learn to just take the check down? And he checks down to DeAndre Swift at one point on a beautiful play on a third and four and gets great run after the catch, you know? It just using touch sometimes to Colston Loveland and then throwing a bullet to Loveland on the very next play, using different kinds of throws instead of just the fastball. It feels like, for me, I don't know if it always happens, but in this game, you saw like the full range of skills and reads calmly from him at the end. It was amazing to watch.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things that go on when I watch the tape. Is that I would love to sit in a room with Ben and Caleb or just be a fly on the wall and watch this film. Because there is a number of times where I ask myself, okay, what are they trying to do with this combination, this concept? There's other times I ask myself, Caleb, why are you looking over there? Like, what, you know, what, all that stuff. And so there's, you know, sometimes I wonder, okay, did he just happen to pick the right guy and the right guy was open and then obviously he delivered it? Was it a great read on that particular play? Because, again, it's kind of all over the board when I watch a game. And so I just want to know. I want to know what he's seeing, how these things are put together, where he's supposed to go with his eyes. And that would give me a better sense of, at this point in his career, where is he in terms of seeing, reading coverages, understanding what's good against what, you know, those kinds of things, or if he's just out there more as a playmaker going, okay, I know this is the first read. If it's there, rip it. If it's not there, go create, find a check down. That's the kind of stuff I would be fascinated to know, but I agree with you. I think he played a good game in terms of, you know, where he should have gone on plays. He was going to those places when he didn't see something, he was finding those check downs and getting a positive play, a completion, you know, making a short little run or a run around the side to a first down. I mean, I thought he managed the game extremely well. And then obviously, as he has all year, made those critical big plays. And there was a number of them, like you said, in that fourth quarter, the drives were so quickly because it was like 20-yard play, 20-yard play. And they're right there in the red zone and they're scoring. And so it was fun to watch. And as we've said kind of all year, is that I don't think this is a finished product by any means. And so what they've done, what they've accomplished, it's just so exciting because I just go, okay, where can they go? How good can Caleb be? How much more efficient? If he can get more efficient to go along with this stuff, man, it's going to be fun to watch for years to come.
When the Bears drafted Colston Loveland, there were a lot of people like, oh, that's interesting because Ty Warren was kind of thought to be the better choice at tight end. He fits perfectly, at least from my point of view, what it is that Ben is trying to do. Watching his growth has been unreal. How would you assess how Colston Loveland has become kind of a matchup problem for defenses?
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about Warren versus Loveland, I think they're two different players. And although I love Tyler Warren and what he's done, he's not quite the athlete that Loveland is. And I think that to me is probably why you go Loveland in this offense versus Warren. And you already had Cole Kmet, who is more of the bigger, more traditional type tight end. Now we want a guy that can be ultra versatile. And, you know, again, even though Warren does a lot of things, he's not as fluid and as explosive and as quick twitch as a guy like Loveland. And so, you know, you're seeing Loveland, you know, in the backfield, you're seeing, you know, him line up as a traditional tight end. You're seeing him all the way outside. You're seeing him motioning all over, and it can run so much of the route tree that to me is where he becomes such a vital piece. This is not just a good tight end. We wanted a chess piece, and he becomes that chess piece that doesn't have to do all the traditional tight end stuff, although I think he can do most of it. He could be that second tight end that becomes that mismatch for us, whether we put him in the backfield and he plays like a fullback or he plays like a running back and we use running back routes with him, or we put him on the outside and we use him more as a wide receiver type. He can do all of those things. So I think he's the ultimate chess piece for Ben and what Ben wants to do, you know, in this offense.
If we flip to the other side, what did you see from Jordan Love in the second half as Dennis Allen got very aggressive, bringing pressure, and some different players in the middle because of injury were able to go after him in the A-gap, right there in the middle? I wonder what you saw from Love as that was happening.
Yeah, I mean, I just thought the Packers just across the board, they're like everybody took their turn. There were times that there were scheme issues. Like there was one time they ran a play action pass and the left tackle stepped down and let the defensive end run free right at Jordan Love when they're right there on the his heels are on the goal line. And so it was stuff like that where it was like, what are you doing, Packers? There's other times where I just thought they were trying to push the ball down the field and take these double moves and Jordan Love was forcing some things down the field. They were more aggressive. Chicago was defensively, so they forced a little more air, you know, in terms of having to be perfect because they were playing tight coverage. You know, there's one inside fade that he's trying to throw, and the defender and the receiver's feet get, you know, caught up, and he goes down to the ground, and there's no penalty. And, you know, it's just like everything that could have gone and needed to go in the favor of the Bears did the second half. And again, part of it was to their credit. They won at the line of scrimmage. They, you know, that they were physical with the receivers. But I think a lot of it was also the Packers I just scratched my head. Like it was a quarterback one time. It was a play call. Like what are we doing with this play call here? Like, why are we doing this? Why aren't we handing the football off at like, there was just a whole bunch of stuff that you're just like, they needed everything to go against them and the Bears needed about everything to go for them. And, you know, again, the amazing part was I remember there was like 3 minutes to go in the third quarter and they went for it. I think that was when he threw the interception on fourth down. And, you know, I tweeted like, can't we just take points? Like just take 3 points. And everybody's like, oh, you can't take 3 points at that point. You know, at that point we, you know, we're down, you know, three scores or two scores at the time, whatever it was. And I'm like, there is so much time left in this game. Like just take some points. Get the positive, right? And then you just flip it. You get points again, and you're right back into this thing with the whole fourth quarter to go. And you guys know, I mean, they've scored so many points and were so explosive in the fourth quarter that they gave the ball back to the Packers with a minute and a half to go, and they had the lead. And so there is just so much time left in that game that it was just incredible to see how, you know, drive after drive, you know, whether it was, you know, Packers side or the Bears side, everything that needed to be done for the Bears, they did it. And where they needed a mess up from the Packers or a bad situation from the Packers, they did it. And, you know, it turned into this epic performance and a great game to watch.
When I watch Stafford and McVay, I look and go, I hope that's what ends up happening with Ben and Caleb. I feel like I'm watching two guys that have the same mind when I watch the Rams play offensive football. And I know that you watched that meltdown in Atlanta a couple weeks ago. But I'd love to know what you think of their relationship and how it manifests to the Rams playing winning football.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it numerous times on here, is that it's so important for your play designer, play caller, coach, to see the game the way that your quarterback does. And to, you know, so to, you kind of speak the same language, or when he designs a play and I guess goes through his progressions, you know, this is how I want you to read it, that it makes sense to the quarterback, that he knows, okay, perfect. I know what I'm going to do. I know who I'm looking at. I know why this progression, I know where this is going to happen and the timing of this and how my footwork can, like, you want all of that to be on the same page. So it's not just like a coach going, oh, I really like this play here, run it. And the quarterback's going, oh my gosh, I don't know what we're trying to do here. I don't know how it makes sense. I don't really know how I'm supposed to go from here to, like, when there's that confusion, then, you know, you're not going to be nearly as successful. When you see it and understand it the same way is when you have those opportunities to kind of take it to the next level. And when a coach calls a play, you know exactly what and why he's thinking that particular play, and you can go out and you feel comfortable running it, and now you're executing at a high level. And so that's, to me, when you've got the best. I mean, I look at like Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy, is that I think the Shanahan system is tough to run. It's not an easy system that always lines up the way I see the game. But Brock, you know, has a way of making that offense work, and making certain kinds of throws and understanding the elements that go into making it great. And so, you know, where that offense, I don't think is as great without Brock Purdy. You know, Brock, you know, just because of his skill set, is able to thrive in that. So it's a perfect fit and mix with those two guys. And I think that's exactly what you're talking about and what you're looking for. You know, if especially if you've got a young quarterback and kind of a guy that's got that genius mind like Ben Johnson.
Can we ask you about the fourth, the last touchdown in the fourth quarter to DJ Moore, where they've kind of faked that wide receiver screen to Burden? You mentioned eye candy earlier. They had Darnell Wright, the right tackle, lined up on the left side in a tight end spot just to make it look even heavier. And then Darnell Wright, like, runs at the trio of wide receivers. I mean, that just, it seemed like wonderful design. And there's DJ Moore wide open after he faked a block on the wide receiver screen. What'd you think of that one, Kurt?
Yeah, I mean, I've actually seen that a couple times this year from a couple different teams. I'd never seen that before, where they pull the offensive lineman outside to make it look like they are running the wide receiver screen and that tunnel screen where you try to get wrapped back underneath those offensive linemen. So I've seen a couple teams do that this year, and I think it's awesome because it just an extra sell over there. You know, they'd run a number of wide receiver screens in the game out of different looks. And so, I mean, just a perfect play call. We've seen that a couple times. We saw that against the Packers in their last game, right? The perfect play call at the perfect time. You're just kind of waiting to pull it out of the bag when you needed it. And, you know, Ben's just had a way and a knack of doing that. And it was perfect execution. And the Packers, you know, all three of the DBs jumped all over it. You couldn't get probably an easier look for the game-winning touchdown. But I think Ben's done a great job of setting those things up all year long and then calling it at the right time.
Yeah, Lawrence Caleb said they'd practiced it for the last month but hadn't run it in any of those games. Man, that's
pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Kurt, as always, we appreciate this. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to be in January and still talking to you about actual games and not about draft stuff. So it's cool.
No kidding. We got at least one more week. I love it. I love it. Let's go see what can happen.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks, Kurt.
You got it. Talk to you guys later.